Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Over for just a second, make me sound like I was a little more big time than you already know I am. This is VOC Nation Worldwide. You are listening to Rubbed Raw. I'm Dean Compton. I know you know me from Sunday nights at 11:30 with Compton After Dark, and Thursday nights alongside Emily Scott with Her Dork World, His Dork World at midnight, also right here on the VOC Nation. Of course, alongside me tonight, who you also know from Sunday nights, Compton After Dark at 11:30 p.m. Ryan Mays, how are you doing this evening?
What's happening, bud?
Oh, not much, not much. Just watching a little Raw from London tonight. And I'm sure that the maestro also had a really good time watching a little Raw from across the pond. How are you doing tonight, maestro?
Doing great.
Always glad to have you here. And if anybody out there wants to be a part of this tonight, 855-VOC Radio, 855-862-7234. I didn't think that tonight was a particularly bad Raw, Ryan, but it really wasn't a particularly good one either. Just things just kind of seemed not to be stale necessarily, but just kind of going around in a circle.
Well, I mean, that's nothing too shocking is going to happen on a pre-taped Raw. I think Vince is very aware of spoilers getting leaked on the internet, and he hates when that happens. So a show like this, you're going to have a hot crowd because they don't get to see him too often. But as far as storylines go, you're probably going to be spinning the wheels.
Well, Stro, how cognizant should they be of that in the booking? Because I recall in WCW when Tony Schiavone announced that Cactus Jack was going to win the world title, it actually drove viewers over there, and people knew what was going to happen, but they wanted to see it. I'm not saying that you necessarily shouldn't do any big surprises, but isn't there something to, you know, putting something together that even if it's taped, people will still want to see it, or maybe even see it more once they hear about it?
You know, it's just like, you know, people that want to give out spoilers and whether it be to put a stab at the competition or whatever. I mean, people will always want to witness something for themselves. And pro wrestling is a classic example of that. So, you know, it's just like, you know, it's kind of a catch 22, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, you know, the fans want to witness it for themselves. They want to have the excitement of seeing it as it happens.
Right, and there's a reason that pro wrestling in its pre-golden age, I guess, you know, before television, it didn't really make it on the radio. It wasn't something that people wanted to hear in an age when people wanted to hear, like, everything on the radio. Speaking of radio, this is live, 855-VOC Radio, 855-862-7234. And, Ryan, you touched upon this. There was a very hot crowd, and that is the one advantage of any time WWE goes to Europe, even if it's taped. It's still going to come across as a pretty big deal because to them it is a big deal. I mean, WWE only makes it over there once, twice, maybe three times a year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely don't take away anything from the show because, you know, the big names are all there. And, you know, they get to see other big stars. You know, it's a unique crowd. They tend to be smarky, but at the same time, like, you know, super into it. Sort of like a, I guess like a post-WrestleMania crowd maybe, but not quite so smarky.
Right. You know, I mean, they definitely are going to get all the shots they can get in because of the scarcity of WWE being in their neighborhood. But, you know, getting on to the show, and a lot of you have probably already, you know, read some results or whatever because it's been taped for a little bit. But, hey, no big deal. We're still going to go over it with gusto here on Rubbed Raw because that's how we do it on the VOC Nation Worldwide. And it started out with a continuation show of the Wyatt family John Cena feud, and I think Bray Wyatt continues to cut pretty good promos considering that he has had to say about the same thing again and again for about 3 months. The international crowd was no different when it came to getting behind Bray Wyatt, maybe a little bit more than WWE would even like, and they were chanting with him and saying that the whole world in his hands. Are we in danger, Stro, of Bray maybe becoming too popular to be in that heel role?
Well, it's like the old adage goes. I mean, so when someone starts off as the villain, after a while, people will start to accept him. We've seen that so many times, through the history of pro wrestling with different wrestlers. And the Wyatt family is like one, I feel my estimation is one of the best personas to come along in the WWE in years. And I mean, Bray's comes from a long lineage of great wrestling tradition, great wrestlers and his family, and it's pretty evident as it shows with his talent. So and it's really adding a lot of spice to this feud with John Cena.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on the essentially exponentially increasing popularity of Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family?
I'd say it's the same thing. It's the only thing that's keeping this feud afloat as long as it has, because you kind of figured Cena winning Clean and Mania would be the blow off of the feud, but they've kept it going mostly because the crowd is siding with Bray. They got a song to sing. It's a really cool visual when he comes out in the darkness, and you've got all the cell phones lit up in the crowd, and you've got the announcers.
The personal touch, how they say, the personal touch when they shout out to the crowd, the city they're in.
Yeah, and you got to even it's becoming part of the angle that he's brainwashing more people. He's getting more followers out of the crowd, but that's the main thing keeping it going. I'm super hyped to see Bray get more and more over with this.
I think one of the things is he's a heel who's encouraging crowd participation in a way that we really haven't seen Stro since perhaps Raven and his and the flock in WCW, where certainly Raven was reviled by a large contingent of the crowd, but anybody who came to a WCW event in those days, and even ECW when Raven was there, if you were a miscreant or an outcast or felt like you were somebody who just didn't belong anywhere, you kind of identified with him, and I think Bray Wyatt kind of attracts those same people.
Absolutely. He's got the underground following, and it's growing and growing, by the minute. And it brings a whole new realm to the feud with John Cena, with the John Cena being the whole goody-goody, do good for the kids and make a wish and all that. John Cena does a lot of good, for the kids. And it's like when now Bray Wyatt is entering in his world as far as manipulating – the youth that go to his side. So, it's an interesting battle going on.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, too, Ryan, that was odd about the segment is in a time when it seems that Bray Wyatt's popularity is increasing, they kind of had John Cena heal him by attacking him from behind. That seems like a dangerous move when Bray Wyatt's already finding favor with a large number of fans.
Yeah, I can see that. You could certainly, maybe stretch a little bit, but look at the parallels of when Hogan was kind of losing popularity, and it seemed that he was starting to resort to heelish tactics while supposedly being a babyface, and that just kind of made the people that were getting tired of him even more angry. I guess you could say something about that, but yeah, the way the announcers put it was that John Cena just outsmarted Bray this time, but it was pretty heavily pro-Bray crowd. You can still always hear, some Cena chants, but for the most part, everyone was on Bray's side.
Yeah, this feud has almost morphed into what I was saying a second ago, Ryan, where it's Bray Wyatt represents those outcasts. It's kind of like, my girlfriend Emily Scott, who you can hear with me midnight on Thursdays, her dork world, his dork world, has commented that she thinks Bray Wyatt looks like a dungeon master. Well, maybe this is that fight, that weirdo dungeon master versus the goody two shoes white bread jock.
Oh yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, it's he definitely looks like a he looks more like a wrestling fan than John Cena does. Let's put it that way.
It's true. But you got an opinion on this here on Rub Raw 855 VOC Radio 855-862-7234 VOC Nation Worldwide. Lots of great shows on here besides mine. Check out AK's Funhouse on the weekends, In the Room with Brady Hicks Tuesday nights. On the afternoon, we got Bruce Worth bringing you all kinds of business and cloud advice for this new high-tech world. I mean, lots of great stuff all over the VOC Nation. Check out the drop-down menu on the website under shows. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast now, podcast.vocnation.com. The first match of the night, and the first match to really catch my attention, Stro, Cesaro versus Sheamus. It wasn't very long ago when the word around the campfire and what all the little birdies were saying was that Cesaro was way on the outs with Vince McMahon, but he's really getting treated very well, and I think that with this opportunity, he's doing a great job making the most of it, as seen by getting a victory over a world heavyweight champion here tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Cesaro's a phenomenal athlete. I mean, I saw a great match not too long ago on NXT with him and William Regal. That was just a classic. And I thought tonight's match with him and Sheamus was very solid. I'm a big fan of smash mouth, no nonsense, hard gritting wrestling. So, I mean, it was really a solid match. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and excuse me, I'm glad right when I started to talk I had to cough. Way to go, body. Way to betray me. I guess I should work out and treat it better, but neither here nor there. Ryan, does a victory over Sheamus, who indeed is a former WWE champion, still have luster at this stage? Because, you know, I mean, I know he's done okay as of late, but he's kind of been an also-ran, you know, before, you know, very, very recently. And I wonder if, you know, I think it's obviously good for Cesaro to win, and I'm a big Cesaro fan. As Stro said, he's such a phenomenal athlete. But are you ready? Are you ready to see him step up to the next level of guy, or is Sheamus the next level of guy?
Sheamus has been spinning his wheels for a while. I mean, he hasn't had much to do other than winning the IC belt, which we all know how those mid card belts have treated people lately. He really has
not important. That's the thing. You know, I mean, I knew that recently he had, you know, he was IC champion, but that's just not a big deal anymore, to the point where it's almost hard to even remember who has those belts. Not because I'm not interested, but because they're treated with, they're afterthoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a running gag for the last couple of years now, at least, that someone kind of gets over with the crowd and gets hot, wins some matches. Then they win, you know, the IC belt, or they win the U.S. title. Then there are a lot of start losing matches because they think, I guess the bookers think that the belt protects them or something, but it usually just kills the crowd's interest.
Yes, and that has been a phenomenon that's troubled me, Stro. It does seem like sometimes they think belts can protect guys, but, you know, having traveled all over the world, you know, wrestling all kinds of promotions, belts don't make guys. Guys make belts, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't say any better myself. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, it all boils down to the talent. You know, if the guy or gal, you know, can't make the belt what it is, then, you know, it is what it is, right? So it all goes back to the talent and what they make use of it.
Yeah, if they don't get behind the talent, it's just a hassle to carry around, especially through the airport. That's all it becomes then.
Right.
But the next thing that was really, you know, important, you know, that stood out on the show is they're obviously continuing the anti-authority angle with Daniel Bryan. Stephanie Stroh is a classic. She really inherited her father's ability to be an evil character just through facial expressions, mannerisms, and body language.
Oh, no doubt. She's definitely a chip off the old block with Vince. And she's really getting a lot of good heat with the story with Daniel Bryan, for sure.
Yeah, what did you think, Ryan, of having her come out to the Yes, Yes, Yes movement music? Which, by the way, if y'all out there don't know, it's sweeping Major League Baseball. I know the Pirates and the San Francisco Giants both chant Yes, Yes, Yes and point to the sky after their guys hit home runs, and their home fans have started to do it too. So what did you think about her swiping that? That's some classic heel stuff, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, it was needed. The whole surgery thing with Bryan, I don't know how much of it is a work and how much of it is, you know, real, but probably a good idea for his run right now because it makes him more the underdog. Like, he just got the belt. They're going to have it taken away from him. He kind of gets the crowd back on his side because up till now, since he won it, they've really kind of done this storyline poorly with him running for his life from Kane. And that's just not how you make a champion look. And it's kind of had the crowd already starting to get tired. Like last week, you saw Bryan get a promo and you got some boos. You could see in his face, he even said, you know, this is what John Cena feels like. And that's not good when it's only he's only had the belt for like a little over a month. So to have this real-life slash, you know, storyline thing where he's hurt and it might end his career, and that's a good way to put the heat back on the Authority and to get the crowd back behind the underdog.
Right, and it does seem, you know, in addition to this injury, which, you know, like you said, I don't know how much of it is a work and how much of it is real, and, you know, I don't think anybody knows but Daniel Bryan, WWE, you know, especially, but it seems to me, Ryan, that this is the old syndrome that has affected just about everyone in WWE except for Shawn Michaels, and that's little man big belt is what I call it. And when a little man gets a big belt, he's not allowed to have the thing that makes him and that belt look good, which is big victories. They always, like when Ray, to draw a parallel, when Ray Mysterio Jr. was the World Heavyweight Champion, both times, Ryan, he was just, he was booked in a way that made you not take him seriously and not take the championship seriously, and it made him seem like a placeholder for some big guy. I hope that's not happening.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, they do tend to go back to that a lot. I mean, I was really apprehensive about this before Bryan won the belt. I mean, I wanted him to win it so bad, and I'm, of course, still glad that he did, but I was just afraid that they would do something like this to make him kind of look sort of weak and having to win, you know, by the skin of his, you know, teeth, and to run from Kane and be scared, that whole horror movie stuff, that was just pretty bad. I mean, just because he's a smaller guy, they've already proven time and time again that he can out-wrestle anyone, so just make him look strong. Make him just manhandle some people.
What do you think about that, Stro? Is there a little man big belt curse in WWE?
Well, I mean, this is like a whole new realm, like with WWE, as far as, you know, it used to be back in the day, you know, it was just the land of the giants, and now you get all shapes and sizes, and now I'm thankful for Daniel Bryan, when he comes back, I think just get like a mean streak about him and just show why he is Daniel Bryan and why he's the heavyweight champ.
Well, I agree. When he comes back, he needs to come back strong and ferocious and be the king of the jungle like that big old lion mane's beard he's got. We're going to have to take a break
right here
on Rubbed Raw, VOC Nation Worldwide, pay a few bills. Can't keep doing this for free, y'all. Too much fun. But if you want to join us after the break, 855-VOC Radio, 855-862-7234, talking with Ryan Mays, talking with the Stro. I'm Dean Compton, and this is Rubbed Raw.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. It is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime. Woo!
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today. And so much more.
Hey, it's me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. NetCarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your NetCarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
It's not easy being in IT today. Data is growing exponentially, technology is changing at an accelerating pace, and the consequences of unplanned downtime are more serious than ever. StorageHive helps eliminate these risks by automating all the data protection and disaster recovery for your laptops, servers, and virtual systems through a single provider. StorageHive can help you free up more time, recover faster, and improve the reliability of your backup process. Visit StorageHive.com.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the NCloud and soar above your competition.
This is Buggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
Welcome back to Rub Draw. Thanks for sticking with us through the break here on VOC Nation Worldwide. I'm Dean Compton alongside Ryan Mays and the Stro. As you're well aware, every Monday night at 11:30 here at VOC Nation at VOCNation.com, you can get the quickest and best highlights and analysis from Raw that you'll find anywhere on the World Wide Web and anywhere in the world, period. Top-notch staff here. Moving along, you know, we wrapped up right before the break talking about Daniel Bryan and the current drama going on over the status of the World Heavyweight Championship. But there is a big feud going on right now, Stro, between the old – I don't want to say the old guard and the new guard because, you know, Randy Orton's still relatively young. But Evolution had been dissolved for so long, so they kind of are the old guard. And the Shield's definitely the newcomers, the guys coming to kick the old block, the old guys off the block. But it looks like it's not going to be quite as simple as that, you know, so far. I'm a big fan, Stro, of that whole, old guy, old guard, new guard dynamic, provided it's done well. And I think so far they've done pretty well and gotten a little more out of this than I thought they could.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've had some great matches, and, you know, I'm really joined to brawls every week back and forth between Evolution and Shield. And it's adding something new each time, and it's really bringing out the best in, you know, both cliques.
Ryan, what's been the best moment for you so far in this feud between Shield and Evolution?
I guess just the Extreme Rules match. I mean, that was just insane. You know, you had some great spots. I mean, Rollins jumping out the balcony was just crazy, next-level stuff. So just that match in general. I mean, it's been a great feud so far.
Right, tonight Rollins faced Batista. Rollins won by disqualification. I don't have a problem with that at this point because there's, you know, Ryan, there's been definitive wins. So at this point, to keep it going, you probably do have to spice things up here and yawn with the count out or a DQ if you want to get people to watch that paper, the next pay-per-view on WWE Network.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Rollins and Batista had just had a match on SmackDown like a week ago too. So, which Batista won, but yeah, I mean you gotta mix it up somehow.
Right, I'm gonna be very interested, Stro, to see what happens in the end of this one. I'm not a fan of Evolution. I have respect for all three guys, but they're not the kind of wrestlers that I love. I am a huge fan of The Shield, and they are the kind of wrestlers that I love. You know, just that no-nonsense style. And I love their look, and I love how contemporary they are. What do you think, you know, and we're doing a little bit of, you know, projecting here. What do you think, you know, the finality of this angle will be, and how long do you think they can play it out?
Oh, I mean, I think this feud could run as long as it wants to. And I really think the end result will end up being The Shield being even bigger than they are now, which, you know, it's amazing to see, you know, their rise to, you know, notoriety there in WWE.
Yeah, they're growing exponentially. Just one of the best things. If you're not tuning into Raw every week for any other reason, you have to see The Shield. Main event tonight, Ryan, Luke Harper with the Wyatt family versus John Cena with the Usos. It was the kind of match that we've seen when multiple people have been getting involved in the Cena versus whichever, any member of the Wyatt family, Harper, Wyatt, you know, whoever, it doesn't matter. But these matches seem to have a lot of brouhaha, a lot of interference. They seem to end in DQs a lot, but at least there are a lot of cool spots, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can do without seeing more of Cena winning every match against each member of the Wyatts, but you know, at least the DQ win ends in a beatdown. But the crowd always gets super involved. You know, there are shenanigans, but you know, with the singing and all that, and Cena selling it like it was getting in his head, you know, it's a pretty high main event.
Stro, what do you think about having the Usos around Cena? I think it's really good for them, and it's really good for the tag team titles. I think the only danger might be is they can't come across like, you know, like the little buddies, you know, the Gilligan and the Skipper thing.
Right. I mean, you know, the Usos are the WWE Tag Team Champions, and I think it's only fitting that, you know, they would fit in all, you know, the top, one of the top feuds in the company, you know, with a top guy like John Cena and, you know, the Wyatt family, which is, like, you know, really red hot right now.
Absolutely. I mean, the only thing, like I said, the only thing I would be worried about, Ryan, is you don't want them to come across like, oh, these are my little buddies and I'm helping them, even though really it's got to be seen that the Usos are helping Cena, who's outnumbered, outgunned, and out mentally maneuvered.
I mean, so far it just kind of seems like they're tag-alongs, but that's nothing new, I guess, in this scenario. I mean, for instance, they were nowhere to be seen in the post-match beatdown, you know, by the Wyatt family. They just kind of conveniently disappeared without taking any, like, you know, brutal beatdown of their own. So that's,
well, they took it to Sister Abigail.
Yeah. Did they both took it? That's right, they
did.
But they still disappeared, though. I mean, hell, they could have, you think they would have recovered by the time he'd taken all those moves and gone up the ramp and taken one on the ramp and all that, but Yeah, I take that back a little bit.
Right. You know, I mean, hopefully they will, you know, come a point where they do come in there, chairs are swinging, saving John Cena. And then I think it's just as important that John Cena, without making them look like little buddies, again, he's got to save them a couple times because, as you mentioned before, Ryan, he's not known for helping people who help him in storyline. Like, he's obviously a great guy in real life, but in storyline, they've kind of booked him sometimes to where he leaves people who had assisted him out to dry.
Yeah, no, I agree. They definitely need to both kind of do more for each other than just, I don't know, show up.
Right on. We're about out of time here tonight on Rugged Raw. Stro, you got a final thought first about tonight's Raw?
I think it was okay. You know, I'm really looking forward to next week because especially the situation with the World Heavyweight Championship and the continuing feuds with Cena and the Wyatts and Evolution and Shield. I mean, it's really heating up.
Ryan, what's your final thought on tonight's Raw?
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. Storyline didn't really change. Had some good matches, had a hot crowd. Check out SmackDown for the debut of Bo Dallas.
Yeah, going to be good. You know, I'm a big fan of this character, you know, dating back to, you know, NXT, which when he was a babyface, I just hated him. But as this motivational heel, I think he's great. I'm pretty much in the same boat as you guys. I guess we all bought tickets at the same time, the same place, because I thought Raw was okay, nothing to write home about. But that hot crowd in England made it a little better than if it would have been a live Raw here. Like, I would have thought much worse about it. Well, tune in next week, y'all. Rubbed Raw, 11:30, like I said, right here on VOCNation.com, VOC Nation Worldwide, always bringing you the best and fastest Raw analysis and highlights every week. You can tune in to Compton After Dark Sunday nights at 11:30 and hear me and, you know, Ryan Mays and I. And on Thursday nights, Emily Scott and I bring you Her Dork World, His Dork World. This is Dean Compton, Rubbed Raw, VOC Nation.